Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
General statement, but I also believe that Senator Obama served on a board with Mr. Ayers for
Good
a period
for you,
of time.
Hillary.
The Woods
Go
Foundation,
for it.
Which was a paid directorship position. And
go, girl,
if I'm not
go.
Mistaken, that relationship.
Come on, girl,
with
you want to win, you better get out those fangs now.
Continued after
Come on, girl, throw that telephone.
His reported comments, which were deeply hurtful.
Come
to
on, girl, go for it.
And I would hope to every American, because they were published on 9/11, and he
Come
said
on, girl.
That he was just
dig
sorry
those
they
fangs
hadn't done
in,
more.
Girl. Go
and
for
what
it.
What he did was set bombs, and in some instances, people died. So it is, you know, I think it is again an issue that people will be asking about, and I have no doubt.
That's the high point of last night's so-called debate, which took about an hour till they asked the question of any meaning. But one thing you'll notice, the government media fix has been in from the beginning, which is why this farce has been going on for so long. Did you hear one question about the number one pressing issue to the American people? Hello, what's that? Illegal immigrants. Well, you wouldn't hear that from Georgie Porgy, would you? You wouldn't hear that from Charlie Parley, would you? You wouldn't expect any more from always Bolshevik crap, ABC, would you? They wouldn't answer one question of any meaning to the American people. It was amazing to me what passes for a presidential debate today. But I commented on it last night. What was interesting is that they both really did throw mud in each other's eye, and I learned something. I did learn that Obama did hang around with William Ayers. He is Obama's friend, and he's a bomber, a bomb maker. And he calls him just an English professor in the neighborhood. No, it's indicative of Obama's orientation to this day. He can't fool me. Maybe he can fool you. But then he's no dummy. He throws back at Hillary that your husband, Bill Clinton, pardoned two members of the Weather Underground. And I looked it up, and I was shocked to find out who they were. So, you know, what this is you got two far leftists here, a pothead calling the kettle head black. In 1985, former Weather Underground member Susan Rosenberg and Linda Evans were apprehended while transporting 740 pounds of explosives, which they both acknowledged were slated for use in additional bombings. Rosenberg was sentenced to 58 years in prison. Evans, 40 years in prison. Bill Clinton pardoned both women in January 2001. Now, why would a president pardon two radical bomb throwers? Why would a presidential candidate named Obama consider a bomb thrower from even 40 years ago someone suitable to be his friend? I don't have an answer to that other than this is how far we've fallen as a nation. That's the only answer I have. Now, on a related topic, an unrelated topic, I was trying to understand why there was so much fanfare about George Bush welcoming the Pope. And I try to understand why George Bush arranged to meet with the Pope and why the Pope arranged to meet with George Bush at this time. And I had to read very carefully to figure it out. You want to hear it? Because the Pope came here and meddled in our internal affairs, which I find extremely offensive, telling America to open our arms to illegal immigrants to the United States. I find that offensive. I find this blurring of religion, or rather church and state, absolutely outrageous. And frankly, I want nothing more to do with this nonsense. Listen to what the Pope had to say yesterday to the nation's Roman Catholic bishops and cardinals. Quote, I want to encourage you and your communities to continue to welcome the immigrants who join your ranks today, to share their joys and hopes, to support them in their sorrows and trials, and to help them flourish in their new home. That's very nice of the Pope. That's very benevolent of the Pope. And what I say is charity begins at home. See, now, since our country is flooded with illegal aliens and our hospitals and our schools are broken as a result of it, our jails are overflowing with them, why doesn't the Pope invite them into Vatican City, which is also a sovereign nation? The Pope could invite millions of illegal aliens from Mexico and extend his blessings to them. Now, who is going to pay for this? The Catholic Church is still wealthy enough to help pay for it. Why doesn't the Pope dip into the good charity of the Catholic Church and pay for it? So that's what I say. I'm fed up with this one. This is outrageous. And it has nothing to do with hate. It has nothing to do with peace. It has to do with people abiding by the law. The law is if you want to come into this country, you do it legally. It is the same in every other country, Mr. Pope. Why should this country be expected to be any different? It's interesting to me, again, that both the Vatican, which is a sovereign state over which the Pope basically has control, and Italy itself do not follow this policy of open borders. Mexico does not even follow this policy. In fact, the only country that follows this policy is the United States because we have pirates running the country. The people don't want them here. That's it. That's the story. So I'm offended by this whole deal. Now, as far as the polygamous children go, the lawyers for the children are not letting the crackpot fascists in Texas simply take them away from their mothers and give them away like dogs or cats. The lawyers are doing it pro bono. Some of them come from the best law firms in Texas, and they're representing 416 children and dozens of parents from the ranch owned by the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I think that's wonderful that this crackpot cracker judge is not going to be able to get away with the first case of outright fascism in the United States of America. By the way, this is the largest case of its kind in American history. And the people fanning the flames against the children, against the mothers, and against the Mormons can be found largely on Fox News because they specialize in salacious sexual material. There is no evidence of sexual slavery, as the leprechaun would have you believe. There is no evidence of any kind of sexual shenanigans other than what is in the mind of the loofah man and his followers on Fox News. And I am so glad that we have a legal system in this country that will give these children and their mothers a semblance of their rights. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Those are some of the topics. There are others. Now I'm going to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Would you like to hear the ridiculous? It's a man in the street kind of story. And here it is. I, as you know, buy things on the internet. Well, I suppose many of you buy things on the internet. And one of the things I recently bought on the internet, to my chagrin, was a clock set, an antique clock set from a crooked outfit on Long Island, New York, who I will not mention yet. Let me explain what happened. I like 19th century, early 20th century, because they're inexpensive and beautiful, French clock sets. I don't have many. I have three or four, and every one that I bought is very good. And I paid between $500 and $1,000. Anyway, there's an outfit in New York who remain anonymous thus far. I went on their internet site. I looked up French clocks, 19th century. And I found some crackpot who sells them there. And he sent me pictures. And he assured me that it was a bronze French clock set. And I paid $1,000 for it. So first it went lost. Then it arrived. And how it arrived was very interesting. It arrived with the marble base broken off, with the right rear leg detached. It arrived with the top finial loose. It arrived with the front faceplate bent. It arrived with a pendulum that was crooked. It arrived with a not working clock. So I contacted the crook who sold it to me, and he said, well, if you return it to me, I'll send you a full refund. Now, if a guy sells you something that isn't what he said it is, are you going to send it back to him and expect that crooked? That guy's more crooked than the clock he sent me. So I didn't send it back to him. I basically told him I'm going to take it up with the authorities. Now, it gets even better. Today I had my clocksmith over, and it's an interesting story unto itself. I said, could you make this piece of garbage work? First of all, he said it's not a 19th century French bronze marble mantel clock, which this crook in Long Island told you it is in writing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's a combination of brass and white metal. I said, well, I should have known better. He said, well, you can't know. You have to rely upon these people. Number two, he said, the movement doesn't even belong to the clock. It looks like it was taken out of an alarm clock and put in here a number of years ago. It was one thing after another. Now, luckily, a friend of mine is an attorney. He was here during the clock smith's appearance. So I'm not going to send it back to this crooked bum. This is the kind of case where you wish you had a friend who owned a pizzeria somewhere on Long Island to give him a little visit and make him tick like the clock, you know, he sent you. But here's the question I have for the audience. I know you're calling about the illegal immigration. Is there any recourse when you buy from a crooked antique dealer on Long Island like this? How do you get your money back? How do you put him out of business? How do you alert other people to the fact that the man sold you a piece of garbage that was not what it's represented to be in writing nor on his website? How do you do that? Is there anyone listening who's a lawyer on Long Island who could help us with this? Help me with this before I do the next thing. Because if you go on the antique website, it looks very good, the pictures they send you. And then when the thing arrived, as I said, it was not a 19th century French bronze marble mantel clock. It was totally broken. And it was fraud, top and bottom. Can this creep be put out of business? I'd like to know that. I mean, I'm not the only one who would have a thing like this happen. One other side note about the clock, because that was interesting. So this is an older English gentleman who I've known for 10 years, who comes over and, you know, keeps the clocks running and this and that. And he really is knowledgeable. He knows how to make old clocks work. I said to him today, I said, how did you learn to fix these clocks? Where'd you learn how to do this? He said, in England, I had to be an apprentice for 7 years. He said, I had to sweep the floors. I had to go out for lunch. He said, I was an apprentice for 7 years to learn how to fix clocks when I was a young boy. He said, then I had to go to school at night. He said, then in order to qualify to be a clocksmith, he said, I had to make a clock from scrap on my own out of metal, you know, the casing and whatnot. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, today there's no such thing as an apprentice, a journeyman. I said, you know, I have a friend, Tony, whose grandfather came here from Greece at the turn of the century. And I said, the grandfather became a carpenter. In order to be a carpenter in those days, as opposed to the illegal aliens who come across the Rio Grande with a hammer and a leaf blower and are instant carpenters, the grandfather also had to be an apprentice, then a journeyman, before he got his license to be a carpenter. And the final test for him as a carpenter was he had to build a door frame out of wood, and then he had to build a door out of wood. He had to attach the door that he built in the frame, and it had to swing freely back and forth in the frame before he would qualify as a carpenter. And I said, well, look at some of the old houses here in San Francisco, why they're still standing. They're as straight as the men who built them. They were all competent carpenters because there was an apprentice system, a journeyman system, etc. Today, there is nothing. Get it? I'll be right back. Savage. So, you know, look, the pebble in the shoe. Yes, I'm interested in the debate. I'm interested in the election, but life goes on. I'm also interested in what restaurant I ate in last night and how bad it was, an Indian place in San Francisco, which I'll never go back to, 45 minutes to wait for cold food. I mean, have you noticed that food quality is diminishing mainly? I won't generalize. In Asian restaurants, I've noticed the food quality diminishing in the San Francisco area over the last few months. The rice portions are smaller. I know rice is more expensive. The size of the shrimp have gotten smaller. There's more goo, more grease. I know it's disgusting, but, you know, I notice these things. And, you know, you walk through life. The same way 1,000 years ago, let's say, somebody in China would have noted things like that in his local restaurant or whatever. Things are changing. Rice went up. Food, you know, luckily we're not starving in America. That could happen too yet. You look ahead, you don't know what could happen tomorrow with the crooks running everything. You got guys on Wall Street who made over $3 billion a year in hedge fund management, including our good friend George Soros, the wonderful, great, straight and true American, the red, white, and blue George Soros, the man who, as you well know, was born with an American flag in his spine. George Soros, true blue American, a man you would entrust your daughter with. George Soros and his friends, each of them made over $3 billion a year last year. Excuse me, last year, according to the New York Times. And millions of people lost their houses. And you say there's no connection? See, a guy yesterday tried to say to me, I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I'm a simple guy. I add things up. Several guys made over $3 billion a year, and several million Americans lost their houses. Now, how did they make their billions? They didn't make their billions by mining for gold. They didn't make their billions by providing a service. They made their billions by betting against mortgages. So ipso facto, they drove the people into the gutter. In a sane society, they're arrested. Their jets are seized. Their properties are seized. Their daughters' bank accounts are seized. And they're indicted for crimes against the country. But who's in charge? The reason this goes on is simple. When you see that the government itself is engaged in a war that won't end because there's so much money involved, these guys can get away with anything they want. Now, I'll take it all the way down the scale. When you have a government that's fundamentally out of control, a government that is anarchistic in its contempt for the laws of the land and its contempt for the will of the people, it reduces itself down to street crime. The street criminal is not stupid. He may not read the paper, but he knows that the guys on Wall Street just robbed billions of dollars each and people lost their houses. So he could break into a restaurant in Oakland, California, pull out a gun and hold up people. That's another epidemic going on out here in the Bay Area right now. Gangs, they won't identify ethnicity or anything else. They never do in the Bay Area. Unless the criminal is a white man, there's no such thing as an identity of a criminal in this communist newspaper that we have here or the communist media. And it's important that we know what the gang looks like and what their ethnicity is so we can be forewarned in case we see them hovering around the restaurant. Wouldn't you say we should know what they look like? Generally, wouldn't you think that would help? They're breaking into restaurants in Oakland, California, and they're not only holding up the restaurant, they're holding up the patrons. Now, why are they doing it? Because Oakland, California, like most areas in the San Francisco area, are filled with sheeple, people who hate guns, and people who allegedly love minorities. So they figure they'll get on their hands and knees and give them their wife and their daughter if they asked for it and thank them for it after they raped them. And they know they don't have guns, of course. Now, the reason these gangs wouldn't try this in East Texas or Louisiana is they'd have their heads blown off. They wouldn't even try it in Florida because some of the old men in Florida might be packing and they'd blow their heads off. Instead of pulling out their money, they'd pull out a .357 and blast their heads off and they'd be rewarded for it. But in Oakland, California, the people hate guns. They're against guns. They're against violence. They're against violence, and they're against war, and they're against police, and they're for the ACLU, and don't you dare come near us with a gun, you fascist. So they get on their hands and knees when the gang comes, and they give them the watch. They give them the ring. They give them the money. Take my wife, please. I'll go get my daughter if you don't. Just don't hurt me. So why do you think the gangs are doing it? They're afraid of nobody in this area because it's filled with liberal schmucks. They wouldn't try it in Florida or Louisiana or Texas. They get their faces blown off.
Savage.
So I'm talking about the news. I'm talking about it getting ripped off on the internet from something I ordered from a crook on Long Island and what my recourse might be. And we have a caller, Rich, in Sacramento. Rich, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to let you know I work for the Department of Consumer Affairs in California, in Sacramento, and I get cyber fraud constantly that California, the state of California, cannot help anybody with. So I
yes.
have to route them to people that can help them in the government.
So, like in this case, this crook is on Long Island in a so-called art gallery. He completely misrepresented in writing and on his internet site what he was sending. What is my recourse?
Well, there's three things that you could do. One is there's a Federal Bureau of Investigation, cyber investigations, investigate cybercrime, the government, the FBI. So there's one option. The other option is the Attorney General in New York. You could no doubt call this 800 number.
Yeah, but it's a small item, Rich. It's $1,000. They're not going to touch a case like this. And the guy probably knows it, too.
They may or they may not, but I want to let you know this is what I have to tell poor consumers to do all the time. Crime and Victims Unit within the government, every state has them. There's also the local county district attorney's office that handles fraud. And with those three options, I'm hoping that everybody that I send these, you know, informational letters to get that information and one way or another solve.
You mean if I send my complaint to you as a state official in California, you would then forward them to these three other places?
Like if you wrote to the state of California and said, I got a problem with the internet, you write a letter.
No. But I thought you work for the state of California.
I do. I work in the unit that takes care of the consumers that cannot be helped by the state of California.
Okay. So what if I sent you an email with copies of what he sent me and then my statement that it wasn't that? Could you then forward them to Long Island to the DA or something?
No, here's what I always do. I'll let you tell me what the problem is. I get your problem on paper on an email, and then I suggest to you, here are your options. You need.
I don't have the time. That's the point, Rich. We're busy people. They know it. The amount of time already I've invested with this crooked SOB isn't worth it.
But you know
what I'm saying? All right, that's the. I knew already the story. San Diego, Dave. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What would you recommend with this crooked clock seller?
Michael, here's a couple of things you might want to think of. Did you do anything that involved the U.S. Postal Service?
Absolutely. Wait, let me think. It was through email, but he shipped it by UPS.
UPS, okay. So you used a credit card, correct?
No, he wouldn't accept credit card. He wanted a bank transfer.
A bank transfer?
Right. In other words, my bank transferred funds to his bank before he would ship it, which of course should have triggered the my alarm bells, but who was paying attention to it?
Okay, then what I would do is I would, since you can't cancel, if you were using Visa or MasterCard or some other credit card, you could go ahead and cancel that, disputing that.
Right, of course, that's why the crook wouldn't accept it.
Right. If you had shipped it, your postal service, then you could actually involve the...
But he didn't. See, it's like saying if my grandmother had, you know what, she'd be my grandfather. But he's smarter than that, this crook. A, he wanted a wire transfer, and B, he used UPS. So maybe I have no recourse other than to call up Guido in the pizzeria in the town.
Why don't you try sending them correspondence through the mail, requesting a correspondence back?
It's been all email. I'm you know what I'm going to do here? Nothing. That's what I'm going to do. Unless I get really mad, then I'll give out his name and the name of his art gallery and his email site on my website and say, do not do business with this crook. Maybe that's what I'll do. Let him sue me. Let him sue me in open court and say that it is made of bronze when I know it's not. Can I bring him in? Okay, one last stupid question. I know it's petty. Can I sue him in small claims court here in California and make him come here to represent himself? There you go. Force him to do something instead of me being forced to do something. Why not make a claim against him up to $5,000, not only for the clock, but for my time, et cetera, the clocksmith who looked at it, the lawyer, and go to small claims court and sue him here? Would that work? I didn't send it by credit card, so don't put up credit card callers. I told you I sent it by thing. All right, let's move on. That's all. Next case. No answers. There's no help out there. Don't you see what it comes? Even a guy like me with a radio show, there's no help. If you get taken by a crook at this small level and you have no recourse, tell me what recourse a person who lost their mortgage has. Tell me what recourse the people who lost their life savings in Bear Stearns have. If you can get ripped off by a guy over a clock for $1,000 and no one can help you. Look at it. With all these bureaucratic functions, this attorney general, that fraud, internet fraud, DA in Suffolk County, DA in Nassau County, nothing, nobody can or will help you. They help only themselves to whatever they want. That's all. So what I'm saying is this is the country you're living in today. You can't get help on a $1,000 item. You're going to get help on a mortgage. You're going to get help on your life savings wiped out by the thieves on Wall Street? We have no recourse for anything. Don't you see what I'm getting at? You know, I why would I bother you with my personal problem on a petty item like this? Because from the smallest thing, from a grain of sand, you can see the entire beach. Don't you understand why I'm bothering you with this? This little grain of sand shows you the beach that we're living on. Keith, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Good.
I'm an attorney on Long Island, and if you want to give me your call, I'll give you a call screen and my email address. You email me the documents, and I'll see what I can do for you free of charge. I'm a loyal listener.
I would like to see justice done here, because if he's ripped me off, he's doing it to others, Keith. And the other people must be as frustrated as I am. I don't mind $1,000, but if the man is this petty that he has to do this to people, misrepresenting, sending a broken eye, you know, the whole thing. I'd love you to do it, and I even pay you for it. It's not the money for me at this point. I'd like to see this SOB put out of business for what he's done.
I agree with you. I'd be happy to do it. If you put your guy back on, I'll give him my email address.
All right, guys, go back on. Keith is a lawyer, good lawyer. See, there's good lawyers. Oh, so I know what you're all calling about. that's not the Weather Underground. You're calling about the Pope coming here and meddling in our internet, in our business. I am sorry. Meddling in our business. Who is he to come here and say, open up your arms to more illegal immigrants? You know what? Hey, Mr. Pope, why don't you take them to Vatican City since you're so benevolent? Give out some of the church's money in Vatican City. Now, if you call this anti-Catholic rhetoric, you're wrong. I believe in America. I believe in the laws of the land. I don't like religious figures coming and meddling in my political life, if you don't mind. That's why Bush had him. I couldn't understand why Bush was suddenly all of a sudden all over this Catholic pope. Why? Is Bush Catholic? No. So what's this thing welcoming the Pope? Is to give us a speech that we need to take in millions of more illegal aliens? You never heard of separation of church and state, have you? Well, you hear it every other day when it's the ACLU wanting to break a cross off a war memorial or do some other abomination. But when it comes to the church agreeing with the state, in this case, meaning flood America with illegal aliens, suddenly all of the leftists are silent. They suddenly agree with the president and with the Pope. They suddenly become religious. All of a sudden, the atheists found their crosses again. Portland on Portland, Oregon. Fred on KXL. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. As a Catholic, I have to agree with you. It is the looking glass, the way I always look at it as well. The Catholic Church is telling us that we need to do this. There's a committee of bishops headed by the Bishop of San Bernardino that says we need to welcome the illegals, and, you know, chaos doesn't work for me. I tithe with my time, my talent, and my treasure. I do what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, to me, this whole thing is, you know, using the psychobabble of enabling the drunk. We're enabling the drunk that is the Mexican government. That's where they need to put the pressure.
Pope urges open arms for immigrants to U.S. I want to encourage you and your communities to continue to welcome the immigrants. That's very nice of him. But I find it offensive. I'm sorry. I don't have to eat it up just because I'm afraid of offending Catholics. All Catholics should be offended by this meddling in our state affairs. We are flooded with illegal aliens. They may be good people, they may be bad people, but they can be good Catholics in Mexico as well as in the United States of America. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we're enabling the drunk. Where's the Mexico is a Catholic country, basically, right?
Yes.
Where's their sense of Christian charity? Why don't they help their own? There is a disproportion. If you look up the information, there is a disproportionate of wealth in Mexico. Less than 1% of the population controls 95% of the wealth. So
you have to look at this from the point of view of a business. Why would the Pope want more Catholics, illegal Catholics in the United States of America? Because they're the only one primarily going to churches anymore. You know that, and I know that.
Well, it's different Christian denominations. They want to grow. They want to grow. That's it. They want to
right.
grow.
Right. So, right. At the expense of the American taxpayer, they want to grow. I sure. find it, again, offensive and meddling.
I agree. And the pressure needs to be on the Mexican government. That is the big drunk. That's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. No one is putting pressure on the Mexican government. They're getting a free pass. They can just pass on their problems to us. Two wrongs can come over here and make
right.
it.
That's right. Two wrongs don't make it right. Look what the Pope said. I come as a friend, the preacher of the gospel, and one with great respect for your vast pluralistic society. I'm glad he comes with respect for our vast pluralistic society. I would now like Pope Benedict to come with a vast respect for our Constitution and our laws, because our laws are very clear. Illegal immigration is illegal. You see, illegal immigration is illegal. For you to say that you want us to continue to welcome the immigrants? They're not immigrants. They're illegal aliens violating the law of the land. And Italy doesn't permit this. And I want to remind you of something else, if I may. And I hope I don't offend you if you're a Catholic. I have done all I can to support the truth about the good works of the Catholic Church over the years I have been on radio. No one has been more adamant in defending the reputation of the Pope who existed during Hitler's time than Michael Savage, because I studied it to my satisfaction. I've done it over and over again because it was true. Well, this is also true. The Vatican, which is a sovereign state over which this Pope has control, and Italy itself do not seem to follow this open borders policy. Mexico does not follow this open borders policy. In fact, everyone seems to come here and tell us to keep opening our borders. without doing so in their own nation first. I don't know if you know this, but even Canada, socialist Canada, does not even let someone visit their country if you have a misdemeanor, a DUI or the equivalent, unless you have been rehabilitated pursuant to Canada's process. And so we have welcomed too many immigrants into this country. You get it? We can't do it anymore. Sorry, Mr. Pope, this is not right. You have plenty of money in the Catholic Church. Why don't you take the millions or billions of dollars and give it to the poor people of Mexico, and then we can all solve the same problem together, is what some people would say. Of course, I wouldn't, because I'm a much more reasonable person. San Diego, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I would like to talk about the weather underground. I read a book on the weather underground a couple of years ago. It's called Bowdoins and the Aristocracy of Left by Susan Boddy. And I was horrified to find out that a couple of the same names came up in that book, which I found in Hitler, The Path to Power by Charles Barclay Flood, and also a book on the Mosleys in England, who were the Nazi party in England. And I found that rather interesting.
Well, what you're talking about is the fact that both Obama and Hillary Clinton are deeply tied to the weather on the ground. Obama tied currently with his friendship with Bill Ayers, and who he now calls just an English professor and says he didn't know him 40 years ago, which, of course, is ludicrous. And Hillary Clinton in the fact that her husband, Bill, pardoned two members of the Weather Underground, Susan Rosenberg and Linda Evans. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, but also in this group, there was a gentleman by the name of Ernst Patsy Fuqua, and he was a member of Hitler's inner circle, and he was up to his eyes with people in this Weather Underground also.
So in other words, there's a deep link between the Nazis, the ex-Nazis, and the far left in America. Is that what you're arguing?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
That's correct. Liberalism is not only a mental disorder, it is a fascistic mental disorder. And don't forget, my friends, National Socialism, the acronym Nazi, N-A-Z-I, stood for National Socialists. National Socialism is what the Weather Underground has proposed, the so-called Students for Democrat Society. They all proposed National Socialism. They were all, in essence, in bed with the Nazis. And so people say, oh, well, the Nazis were really bad, which they were. And they are blind to how evil the far left is in America today. And there are sister groups. The ACLU is a sister group to this Weather Underground. The National Lawyers Guild is a sister group. MoveOn.org, sister group. We understand the danger we're in here. Not all of us are that stupid, Mike.
Terrific.
Thanks for the call. I know. That's all we can do is Just released court transcript of Savage versus CAIR. I am having it emailed to all people who have donated a certain amount of money or more on my list. And those of you who sent another level, I've sent copies of my DVD to. I'm just getting around to it. I'm not that organized. And we were moving along. We're still waiting for the next phase of the judge here in San Francisco, who has, for some reason, not issued her order. We had thought it would come down. What I'm sending you now is a court transcript of my lawyer, their lawyer, who are, you'll see their names and their addresses, and the nice lawyers representing the Council on Arab American Relations. One man's name is Mr. Zimmerman. Very, very smart man, this Mr. Zimmerman, for representing CAIR against Michael Savage. But then again, liberalism is a mental disorder, as you well know. And to them, a friend, the enemy of their enemy is their friend. And that's how they see it. They are radical, dangerous people. All of these people are. WOR, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much. I wish you well in all your endeavors and all you do for our nation.
That's very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Michael, I'm a practicing Catholic. I have six children. When Pope Benedict was Cardinal Ratzinger, he was really firm and orthodox. I'm seeing a lot of weakness and kowtowing. I'm seeing political correctness filter in. I would rather hear about the 48 million abortions that have taken place in this country rather than talking about Indians and blacks. I really wish...
Yeah, what's the Pope coming here and lecturing us about global warming along with George Bush? All of a sudden, they're experts on global warming?
He's falling prey to the nonsense, Michael, and he needs to be corrected.
Well, that means we have an obligation to stand up to nonsense, no matter whose mouth, whose lips it comes from, right or wrong.
Absolutely, and I would fight to the death for the Catholic Church, but he's off base here.
Thank you very much for understanding this is not anti-Catholic rhetoric on my part. It is pro-American. They're two different things. I'll be back.
Savage.
You look for that song, Good, Good, Good Vibrations. I don't even know who sang it. Who did that song, babe? Whatever. See if you can find it. Whatever. I like that. Good, good, good vibrations. I want to send out good vibrations.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me.
Who is this group? Beach Boys. Beach Boys. Shows you how connected I am to the entertainment industry. Think 1980 Lincoln Continental with an 8-track. This was big when George Bush was still drinking. Right? I mean, about that era when he wasn't on the wagon yet. This would have been something you listened to with a pickup truck speeding across the Western Plains. Sorry. I'm just musing to myself. What do you want me to take them seriously? I better. They take me seriously, I can guarantee you. I just want to hear that thing again, the good vibration thing. What happened to me? A nutritionist, an herbalist, the world used to love me. Hated now. Hated by half the world, loved by the other. I wrote books on herbs and unity. Nutrition. Everyone loved me wherever I went. I got to walk around with a sidearm and guards. All because I expressed myself as an American. Look at the stuff I wrote, an echinacea, garlic. Look at all these books I wrote, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, The Skeptical Nutritionist, Getting Off Cocaine, The Complete Book of Homeopathy, Secrets of Fijian Medicine, Man's Use for Plants, Nutrition Against Aging, Maximum Immunity, 6 Languages, Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, Healing Children Naturally. I walked around with a straw hat, I collected bark, everyone loved me. Now look what happened.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
One and only Savage Nation. I am actually in the midst of my break. I was emailing all of the paperwork about the clock, the fraudulent clock, to the lawyer who offered to do it pro bono. It just said, I love email. It's great, isn't it? And we're talking about the news. I mean, the news is pretty amazing. We find out both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have their relationships with members of the Weather Underground, past and present. And that should worry you very much, really worry you. Well, I'll tell you one thing about John McCain, is he? I'm sure he never had a Weather Underground member over for a beer. That I can pretty much tell you. And he wouldn't call a Weather Underground bomber just a local college professor, as Obama did. Nor would he try to hem and haw about the fact that Bill Clinton pardoned 2 members of the Weather Underground for having set off explosives. Susan Rosenberg, who was given 58 years in prison, and Linda Evans, who was given 40, were pardoned in January of 2001 by Bill Clinton. So, you know, we have a real problem on our hands when you have 2 far-left candidates like this who've gotten away so far with presenting themselves as, you know, red, white, and bluers, I got to tell you. So the big story is not that. The big story is the Pope has come here and urged America to open their arms for immigrants to the U.S. And I have taken umbrage with that suggestion because it's a separation of church and state issue, number one. Number two, the Pope is in no position to tell us to take in more illegal immigrants when, in fact, Italy does not do that. And the Vatican itself, which is a sovereignty unto itself, over which the Pope has control, does not take in illegal immigrants. Why would we listen to him on this? Most Americans understand the damage that the illegal immigration situation has done to this country. It's not that illegal immigrants are not good people. Some of them are great people. We know that. You'd be an idiot not to understand that. I'm a human being. They're human beings. I mean, I deal with people every day. I don't know whether they're here legally or illegally. I talk to them as humans, one person to the other. And most of them are beautiful people, frankly. They're great people. That is not the issue. The issue is the law of the land. The issue is, can we sustain it? You know, the left keeps talking about sustainable cars, carbon footprint, sustainability. Well, how sustainable is it to when your rowboat is already sinking to bring in more people into the rowboat? We got poor in America who just lost their houses. Where are we supposed to find the money when our currency is debased to take care of millions of more poor? The Pope is all wrong. Chicago, Lee, you disagree. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to your program for about a year now, and I respect the positions that you have taken for the Catholic Church. But I think you're putting on an interpretation of what the Holy Father is saying. First of all, he's asking us to accept insert the Catholic principles into a secular society, and he can't cover every aspect, as for a former caller on the issue of abortion. He's just saying to us as Catholics to accept another Catholic culture. He's not saying at all to accept those who are illegally here. He would be very stupid to do that, and he's not a stupid man.
Right. So, okay, I'm open to suggestion. Let me read you what the Pope said and see if I'm misinterpreting it. I want to encourage you and your communities to continue to welcome the immigrants who join your ranks today, to share their joys and hopes, to support them in their sorrows and trials, and to help them flourish in their new home. Now, what exactly does that mean?
To accept the Mexicans, whoever the immigrants are. He didn't say to accept illegal aliens or illegal immigrants.
All right, you know what? Maybe you're right. You're saying accept them when they're in your churches. He didn't say we should accept more illegal immigrants is what you're saying.
Not.
You know what? I can live with that. I can live with that. It's not the way the article was written. The article came out in the Houston Chronicle, and it said, the headline said, Pope urges open arms for immigrants to U.S. And then when I read his quote, it seemed to me he was saying that we should welcome more illegal immigrants into the country.
I think they're very clever in the way they word things. But the fact of the matter is there is nothing antithetical in the beliefs of our own Constitution and the Catholic moral principles by which we live.
Well, I hope you're right, because as you have said at the beginning of this dialogue, if you've listened, you know how I've supported the Catholic Church, and particularly on one issue, and that was the smear campaign against the Pope, who did so much against the Nazis, Pope Pius XII, because there was a huge smear campaign against him, and you know that I didn't buy it.
Well, thank you, Michael. I just wanted to call that in.
All right. This is reasonable dialogue. It's a reasoned discussion. You got to remember that Hitler battled the churches. Many of you don't know that because you're anti. You have Christophobia, many of you. And you've been brainwashed into thinking that Hitler was a Christian and that Himmler was a Christian and Goering were Christians. They may have been born into Christian families, but they did not practice any form or any semblance of Christianity. They were pagans. They believed in supernatural events. That is why they used the Nazi swastika as their emblem. They were also drug addicts. Hitler was a well-known drug addict. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant here is what the church did or did not do in the 1930s. You got to remember that by 1935, church leaders in Germany were being subjected to physical violence. Hundreds of priests and other church officials were arrested. You don't hear about this. Hundreds of priests and other church officials were driven into exile, accused of immorality, charged with violating currency regulations. And the Hitler's Minister of State, Adolf Wagner, went so far as to say, quote, in the days that lie immediately ahead of us, the fight will not be either against either communists or Marxists, but against Catholicism. Everyone will find himself faced with the serious question, German or Catholic. This struggle will not be easy. Did you know that Catholics were forbidden to hold public meetings, even for purely religious purposes? You never heard that. Now, we've all rightly been told about the Holocaust against the Jews, but there was also a Holocaust against the church. You don't even know that. Nuns were declared redundant. 600 teaching nuns were told to seek civilian employment. Church properties were ransacked. Catholic meetings were broken up. Fake stories appeared in the Nazi press. Crucifixes were removed from schools in Bavaria, and it led to such an outcry that the order was rescinded. I could go on and on. You have to understand there was a huge smear campaign against the Pope of that time. And the best evidence I have as to the good work that the Catholic Church actually did, particularly Pius XII and the priests, is the fact that the head rabbi of Rome, the chief rabbi of Rome, converted to Catholicism after World War II because he wanted to give to the church something back for what they had done to save the Jews, as many Jews as they could in Rome. Another fact that you probably haven't heard about in all of the talk about World War II and the Catholics and the church and Hitler and the Nazis. The Israelis dedicated a forest in honor of Pius XII right after the state was formed in 1947-48. Again, you never hear about this because the smear campaign against the Catholics being run by the atheists in the press and in the media, and an attempt to drive a wedge between Jews and Catholics by the same forces, is operational. So there it is. I mean, let's let that go. I don't want to relive already Pope Pius XII anymore. I want to make my point, which is that I pretty much know history and I know my facts. So when the Pope came out and it looked like he said, welcome more immigrants, I took umbrage to that. As the gentleman who just called said, he was not saying that. He was saying something different. I could accept that. Okay? That's all there is to it. We can go on to other topics. 1-800-449-8255. Before we go to break, I want to play a soundbite from last night's so-called phony debate, which was ludicrous. It took a half an hour till I asked either of them a real question. And Stephanopoulos used to work for Bill Clinton, which was outrageous, by the way. And they didn't ask one question about immigration, illegal or otherwise. It was a farce. The whole thing was a farce. Now, I understand 10 million people watch the farce, but I'm not shocked by that. When the media is controlled by so few hands, they'll watch whatever you give them. But we learned that both Hillary Clinton and Bill, whatever his name is, Barry Obama, are real cozy with members, former or past, of the Weather Underground. I'll be right back. All right, here are some other headlines. Let's move away from the Pope already. We covered it. We move away from the so-called debate. I'm going to read out some random headlines that caught my attention. Lawmaker calls for stripping of taxpayer funds to Jimmy Carter's center. You know why, don't you? You can pretty much figure out who Jimmy Carter is. Everyone knows who this crackpot is. Islamic Jihad says we refused Carter's request for a meeting. Good friends, Jimmy Carter. This is nonsense. Delayed gratification is the key to wealth, says young money guru. I don't even know what that means. I've known that all my life. The reason certain ethnic groups do well in America is they're taught delayed gratification from childhood. You know, it's an interesting question, this delayed gratification. Certain religions, actually most religions teach delayed gratification. And people who delay their gratification generally can apply themselves to studying or to working hard, while those who are taught to experience immediate gratification, instant gratification, the Spock baby type, generally can't buckle down. It's not always true, but generally that is true. It is good to have delayed gratification, to hold your fire, in other words. Getting refund is tough for Spitzer donors. I don't know what that means, but I know that the next one they put in there in New York's no better. Would-be terrorist lived the high life. Is Aidin Vatlak, age 28, claimed to be a good Muslim and wanted to join a Melbourne, Australia terrorist organization, and he wanted to bomb some kind of sporting event. But he lived in a palatial beachfront villa in Melbourne. He occupied the palatial home by himself, etc. Now go figure this one out. Another rich Muslim who hates the world, I guess. And he figures by killing you'll get to heaven. I don't really know. French Bill takes aim at those who glamorize the ultra-thin. I don't even understand that one. Now they're cracking down on those who glorify anorexic girls. What would they like, excuse me, what would they like models to look like? I mean, let's clear the air on this. It's one thing to be using anorexic women or girls. Okay, that's no good. Waif-like celebrities is another story. But, I mean, why do you think people look at models? Because they're attractive. That's why. What do you want up there? Rosie O'Donnell? Businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area may pay fee for admissions. Stupid. Gay concern bans mom and dad in classroom. Okay, I don't want to hear any more about it. I'm so sick of that topic. Schools are finding that going green isn't saving green. You know, this whole green thing is about green. It's about making green for the con men. Let's see. Supreme Court upholds use of lethal injection. That's a good one. Yeah, that came out yesterday. That was a big story. By a 7-2 vote in the case, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the three-drug combo used by Kentucky and most other states to execute prisoners does not violate the Eighth Amendment. Of course it doesn't. What the court said is the court gave the middle finger to the psychos in the ACLU. Thanks to Chief Justice Roberts and the others in the majority, they overrode the crackpot, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the other freak who are always in favor of the murderers and the killers, worrying about their sensitivities. Are you kidding me? There's no pain from the maladministration of this human lethal injection protocol. You know, cruel and unusual punishment is what got them on death row. That's cruel and unusual punishment, what these people have done to wind up on death row. That's cruel and justices, so-called, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She never should have been appointed. Never. Bill Clinton appointed her. She had come from the ACLU. That should have disqualified her. David Souter, grown man, lives with his mother. He's in his 60s. He still lives with his mother, David Souter. Isn't he the one who got beaten up in a park about a year ago, 2 years ago, while cruising at 5 in the morning? And they hushed it up. David Souter came back with a little black eye. That's what we have on the Supreme Court, those two. Democrats block resolution to commend Pope. Oh, God. Oh, that's Barbara Boxer? I don't even want to get into this. Because what, he has the pro-life statement? Okay, I'll let that one go. The race to replace the sex pervert on local state. Oh, I'm not interested in this. Rumors are circulating. I see. They want to put a homosexual maniac on the show to replace the pervert who was taken off this local station here for having been found with child pornography in his own home. Yeah, well, good luck. They want to ruin the station. They could put the next pervert on. Democrats block resolution of Van Pope. Bill Ayers in the news. You know Bill Ayers, we did that already. I'm not going to go back to it. Cindy McCain will take a seat at the View table. She's going on that show with those fetid fruits. Ugh, that's disgusting. Why would she go on a show with those old women? Why? Why would Cindy McCain subject herself to those hags? Let's see what else is in the news here. Nothing. There's nothing else in the news. It's a slow news day, actually. It really isn't a slow news day. It's a big news day. I'm just giving you some of the headlines. 1-800-449-8255. Dave in Indianapolis, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, I'll never vote Demon Cat, but do you think that the Democratic Party is purging itself by putting up three Marxists as its nominees, too, now?
Purging itself? What do you mean? They would do that on purpose to let John McCain win?
Well, I mean, if I ran into Zell Miller on the street, I'd ask him, what the hell are you guys thinking? I don't know.
I don't know what happened to the Democrat Party. How could they take people from the far left band of the party, Hillary and Barry Obama, and expect the American people to vote for them?
care because I vote Republican, and I give them hell because they're accountable. But I just wonder, I mean, who is Scoop Jackson? Or who
was? Remember that? Yeah, where is the conservative Democrat? Where are they? Aren't there any who could have been put up there instead of these two?
And what do you think?
I don't know. It looks to me like McCain is going to win unless they use Soros' money to smear him, which they're going to do. They'll bring up the Keating 5. They'll bring up the Air Force tanker deal. God knows what else they're going to do to poor old John McCain. It'll be worse than what the Vietnamese did
Savage.
To him.
Savage.
I wanted to send a strong message because we have a policy in this country about Hamas, and he is just deliberately undermining that policy, and it's wrong. You know, Hamas has continually stood for terrorism against peace, and the State Department, the administration, Israel, all opposed him going over there to meet, and the international community has been trying to isolate Hamas so they would get a message, and, you know, he's just undermining all that. They will not renounce terrorism. You know, they won't recognize Israel. They won't agree to any of the agreements that were determined before regarding by the Palestinian Authority. And so, you know, those have been conditions that they've been asked to do. I mean, renounce terrorism? Come on! Most presidents are respectful of the administration's standpoint, or they work with them on trying to work it out. You know, again, he's just unilaterally going off on his own and undermining everything the international community and the United States is trying to do. And I do not understand it, and most of the members of Congress, quite frankly, do not understand it.
There's a good Congresswoman, Representative Sue Myrick, Republican, North Carolina, speaking out about the Benedict Arnold of our time, Jimmy Carter, who has long been known to be a disgrace to America. But there it is. Mainly people, maybe they'll cut off some of his federal funding finally, you know. But the biggest outrage of the day for me was the front page of today's New York Times. I really was adamant. I was screaming in the kitchen. The dog got scared. He scurried out of the kitchen. I felt bad. I woke up. I took the newspaper out of the blue wrapper, got the Italian coffee machine fired up, almost got scalded in the crotch again till it finally makes it. The heating up, press, rinse. It's one of those espresso machines. Till it gives you a cup of coffee, you need a cup of coffee just to make it work. All right, the coffee is good. Heating up 5 minutes, then press rinse. It splatters you in the crotch. Then you put the cup under it until it comes out. You can have an attack. Everything's too slow. It looks like everything's on. So I open up the paper, and there's a picture of a Palestinian youth with a bicycle crying. And it says, Israelis bomb, blah, blah. They didn't show the three dead Israeli soldiers who were randomly killed by the Palestinian murderers. Every time Israel defends itself, this psychopath, Pinchy Sulzberger, goes out of his way to make Jews look bad. Now, he himself is of Jewish heritage, but as you well know, to a leftist, there's no such thing as a heritage of any kind. Their only heritage is to Karl Marx, not to any ethnicity or to any religion. Their only heritage, as I say, is to an ideology. This man is a psychopath to publish a story like that. And now we read today, just came out minutes ago, that the New York Times Company has posted a loss in the first quarter. One of the worst periods the company and the newspaper industry have ever seen, falling short of both analysts' expectations and its $23 million profit in the quarter a year earlier. Now, they keep saying over and over again, the newspapers that are losing their readers keep saying the same thing over and over again, is that it's a twin blow of an economic downturn and the shift of readers and advertisers to the internet. Both of those factors are true. But they are not the only reasons newspapers like the New York Times are going bankrupt. The main reason newspapers are going bankrupt is because of their anti-American, anti-family, anti-heterosexuality, anti-religious orientation. That's the reason. Why would anyone buy a paper to be insulted? Why would you buy a newspaper that's going to insult everything you believe in? So the people don't buy them anymore. I've said this for 10 years. Now, finally, the Hearsts apparently threw out the cretin that they had running the San Francisco Chronicle. Of course, it hasn't changed the paper yet. What it's going to take to throw Sulzberger out and retire him and maybe put an editor in who puts both sides of a story in a newspaper? You know, it's okay to have a liberal bias. Why don't you counter it with a conservative op-ed? a conservative reporter once in a while. They must exist somewhere. So they're not going broke, the papers, because of the internet and because of a downturn in the economic situation. That's part of the reason. The main reason is, why would you bring home a publication to your home that insults everything you believe in? You know, the answer is you wouldn't. So that's the story. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Because I could see these stories are not that interesting to most of you out there. You're not interested in any of this. I can feel it. I have a sixth sense about these things. Let's see. Is there any breaking news that you're interested in? Can I pander to you in some other way? Let us see what else. Catholic colleges should be in line with church. Pope prays with victims of clergy sex abuse scandal. Bomb threat empties NIU buildings. New York college locked down. Oklahoma sheriff charged with using inmates as sex slaves. There's a story for Bill O'Reilly. It says sex and slave in it. The leprechaun should have it on immediately. Look at this story. Oklahoma sheriff charged with using inmates as sex slaves. Him and Scarface should be tripping over each other to get the sheriff on the show. That's their kind of polygamous sect hearing in Texas descends into farce. Car burns near New York Cathedral where Pope is to visit. Feds seek more time for decision on listing polar bears. What do you mean? Polar bears are listing to the left or to the right? What do you mean listing polar bears? Feds seek more time for decision on listing polar bears. Polar bears are now tilted to the left or to the right? Window washer falls to death at American Indian Museum. Diplomat pleads guilty to possessing child pornography. This is crazy. Oh, God. Accused gunman in killing a Massachusetts mob boss pleads guilty. New children's book takes on mommy's plastic surgery. You know you can go insane reading these headlines? You can literally go crazy. Jenna Bush wedding is part of lively, varied history. What? Let me read that story. That got my attention. She's getting married? That's nice. Very nice. Who's she marrying? On May 10th, Jenna Bush will do it her way privately in a casual ceremony on the family's Texas ranch, telling Vogue she'll wear beaded Oscar de la Renta. Despite top secrecy, her engagement was announced in August. Bush's wedding with Henry Hager will blend into a lively and varied history stretching back to Dolly Madison's sister Lucy in 1812. I'm glad she's getting married. It's very nice. It's a very good role model. Thank God there's a role model like this. At least she's getting married, thank God. And then they give you the whole history of Nixon Cox and Trisha and Nixon, and they all got married, Jenna. All right, terrific. I wish her well. They should have blessed with babies. I have no idea who the young man is. Papal Mass. You know what it is? I know what, why I'm off today. I got an itch. My whole body's itching. It just started to itch. I realize what's wrong. I was awakened 3 a.m. by fire engines, police cars, sirens, ambulances up the block. 3 a.m, the dog and I jumped up. It was like, what is this? What the heck is going on? I haven't even gone to my neighbor to see if they died. So it shows you the kind of world we live in. It's a little street I live on. One of the houses I'm in is a little street. I peered around and I heard the noise. That could only mean someone either, you know, got sick or whatever. I wouldn't think it's domestic violence, like a heart attack. But I didn't even have the decency to go over to see if someone died. Now that I think about it, I guess I'm guilty. That's how I broke out in it. Right after the show, I have to race home now and go up the street. How do you ask someone? What, do you ring their bell and say, look, at 3 a.m, I saw fire trucks and ambulances outside your door? What if the husband answers? You say, is your wife okay? And what if the wife answers, is your husband okay? That's why I didn't go. It's better off the world we live in where no one knows anybody. It's safer that way. You know, you can't say anything wrong. What else? Many polygamists blend into modern society. Look what they're doing now. Many polygamists blend into modern society. The gay community. What would you call that? A healthy lifestyle? You wouldn't call that polygamy? What do you mean? They mate with anyone they want as often as they want? That's okay? This is unbelievable to me what we get excited over. Many polygamists blend into modern society. Ooh, that's evil. But going to a nightclub and having sex with random people every night of the week, that's okay? Because that's not a committed relationship. So that's, you know, we live in a crazy society. The whole thing is crazy. There's another thing I did want to talk about is the gun thing. I've noticed two things came up about guns, both from Obama the Marxist and Hillary the Leninist. they always refer to guns as a right for hunters. And I said, oh, my God, why are they repeating over and over again, guns for hunters, guns for collectors? When I've said over and over again, I can hear the bells go off in my head. What they're doing is they're positioning themselves to seize your guns when they're in office, saying we never said we were in favor of the Second Amendment for home protection. We said we're in favor of letting you have rifles for hunting or rifles for collecting or antique guns that don't fire, because neither of them said we're in favor of gun ownership for home protection, which would mean handguns. Did you catch that? Am I the only one in America with a pair of ears on me? Did you know? I don't want any gun calls, but I know I caught that. That's something else that went off in my head. They want to seize your guns as sure as I'm. Both of them are classic gun grabbers. They're flag stompers and gun grabbers and family killers, in my opinion. Columbus, Ohio. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was calling about the Second Amendment, actually. It seems like it's never an issue in any of these elections. The media tries to make it a non-issue, just like you were talking about illegal immigration.
Right. Did they bring up illegal immigration or guns? Not once.
Well, they did bring up the Second Amendment only because of how he insulted people by clinging to their guns and their religion. But just like you were saying, they both couched it as hunting, and they also couched it as an individual right that the government can modify. They don't understand the Constitution at all, I don't think. And thanks.
You're making a statement that I think is not correct. They understand that they'd like to do away with the Constitution and replace it with a new one run by them. No, but I agree. Look, Frank, I heard them say hunting and collecting, and I was outraged when I said, wait a minute, that's not why. Isn't it true that the majority of gun owners in America own guns for home defense and home protection?
I think so. I got started collecting them and owning them after I read about our founding fathers in Lexington Concord.
Let's say most people in California who own guns do not hunt. Most of them who own handguns own them for self-protection in their home or wherever. And to say that they should be allowed to own guns for hunting is a signal to me that, God forbid, one of these two left-wing extremists should seize the presidency. One of the first thing it will do is pay back their main constituencies, the Brady gun grabbers, the homosexual radicals who want gay marriage. I can go down the list because I know who's funding them. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. I see an article again in today's failing New York Times that the Democrats are trying to paint themselves blue, meaning trying to, their article itself by Matt Bai, whatever that is. I don't know if that's an illness or a person. The article is by Matt Bai. I guess that's an illness. It is called Talking to Jesus Land. So they're condescending even when they refer to Middle America. And they don't understand why people won't buy their rag. Talking to Jesus Land, they think, is clever. Well, maybe it'll get him a smile in a nightclub. I don't think it's going to help the newspaper survive. But it's about rural conservative America who have overwhelmingly voted for Republicans and how they're trying to twist themselves into something they're not, both Barry Obama and Hillary Clinton, you know. So to say Talking to Jesus Land and think that the people don't hear about this on talk radio and whatnot shows you how out of touch they are in the newspaper. San Antonio, KLUP, Pam, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I just want to compliment you. I have never listened to a Democratic debate before. I loved your commentary.
Oh, because my outrage was probably that of persons like yourself. Because how much baloney can you take?
Well, it was funny. It was to the point when you were screaming, it's not about you. I just wanted to take off my book.
Do you realize it was almost 30 minutes till one of those stooges at ABC asked them a question about anything other than themselves?
Well, it's amazing. The only thing I can say is Jimmy Carter has made me not want to vote for anybody unless they're at least 70. Because these Democrats, just like you say, seem to go crazier as they get older.
Yes. I don't know whether he's senile or the real Jimmy Carter is showing. It's hard to say which. But in either case, the man has painted himself as the Benedict Arnold of our time. Thank you very much for the compliments. Do we have any sound where I comment from yesterday, where I say anything? If you do, play it right now. Let the people hear what I was doing yesterday.
We have a live feed from an ABC News special with Charlie Gibson, the debate between Obama and Hillary.
No. Long one, guys. No, the emotional reaction to the things that were being said would be appreciated rather than a kind of running narrative. Salt Lake City, Chris, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, I took a trip to Italy in November. Italy is completely overrun with illegals, especially near the Vatican. I was irate when I saw it. You've got hundreds of Africans and Moroccans selling stolen hand goods all around the Vatican, leaning against the Vatican City walls. You've got expensive shops there where the shop owners have got to pay high rent. But you have all illegals you have to swim through to get by. Italy is overrun.
So Italy's been overrun because their borders, language, and culture have been destroyed just as well by the scourge of liberalism.
Exactly. So I don't know what the Pope is talking about, because he should take a look right outside of his walls. It's out of control.
How is Europe ever going to recover from this invasion? How is this country going to ever recover from this invasion? Is it possible with the quislings we have running for office? I mean, I don't know if we could ever recover from this. You know, Italy still has the manhood and the military and the police necessary to throw the illegal immigrants out. They could round them up, they could put them on boats, and they could ship them back where they came from. What stops them from doing that is the lack of political will, just as the lack of political will in this country is stopping the deportation of the millions of illegals here.
Exactly. I spoke to a guy from Italy, and I said, why can't they get rid of it? And he said, because they would be afraid to be called racists.
Well, if we are that crippled, there's only one end to this game, and it's not a very good ending, and I'll let it hang in the air. Portland, Oregon. Scott, KXL Country, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, where is the American Civil Liberties Union in defending these children's rights for due process and taking away from their mothers?
How can you expect a radical homosexual organization such as the ACLU to care about the sanctity of marriage, even in a polygamous marriage, and children, when in fact they specialize in child pornography cases, the rape of children, the breaking of crosses off war memorials, and anything anti-American, anti-family, and anti-Christian? Why should a group called the Anti-Christian Liberty Union do anything for Christians?
I don't get it. They say that they do so much for people's rights, and yet I turn around and I see case after case.
Oh, really? How come the ACLU hasn't come to my aid?
Yeah.
When it was my freedom of speech is hanging in the air, how come they haven't come to my aid? But they certainly went to the aid of radical Islamists in Guantanamo, haven't they? Anytime they can find somebody with a bomb in their hand who hates America, they're in a second in the courtroom.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of traitors. If I had the power, I would break the ACLU under RICO statutes. I would seize their assets and I would put the leadership in prison, if not outright deport them. And that's why I'm not in power. That's why I'm on the radio. They ought to be very glad I'm not running for office, because I could change things in this country. I could change them real fast. Believe me, I have a plan for this country that could make this country a great nation. I can make the people walk around with pride again and hope. And I don't see that with any of the candidates. I know that within 90 days I could have the people walking around with a pride in being an American again and have hope for the future and for their children. They don't have it right now. They just don't have that right now. Mike in Kansas City, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. You know, I wanted to talk about something that I haven't heard anybody talk about in the media or anywhere else in the country, and that is that this war on terror is really an extension of the Cold War. We've had our eyes blinded to the idea that, the Cold War is over. And it's evident that the Soviet Union is sponsoring Iran. It's evident that the Soviet Union is concocting this whole story that they have these arms bazaars that you can buy nuclear.
No, I have seen this and I've heard this from other sources, Mike, that communist China and the newly emerging pseudo-communist Russia, although it's allegedly capitalist, let's not forget that Mr. Putin was the head of the KGB, have joined forces to destroy America, using the Islamo-fascists as their front
foot soldiers. It's very worrisome. I only hope that those in the Pentagon are aware of this. With God's will and your listenership, I shall be back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. Any topic is fair game here. Halliburton, Savage definition. Okay, Columbus, Ohio, Fatty. Fatty, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael. I haven't read your book, so forgive me if you've addressed this already, but how do you define culture, and more specifically, American culture? It seems like it changes, right. I mean, pretty much every few years or so.
No, it actually doesn't. The people change, but the culture doesn't change. That's the whole—you see, this is the problem that most people are having. They think that multiculturalism should change America. It should not change America. The core values of American culture are set in stone. The people change. The racial makeup changes. But in the old days, they would assimilate to the American culture. Now, what is the American culture? I have defined this. The American culture, when I say borders, you know what that is. When I say language, you know what that means, English only. When I say culture, many of you have been hoodwinked into believing that we're a multicultural nation, which we are not. We are a nation of many races and many cultures. That is true. It has been true from the beginning. But in the past, people would come over and become Americans. Now they come over and they want you to become them. They want you to speak Spanish. They want you to act Muslim. They want you to give up going to the church and going to a mosque. This is not going to go on in this country much longer. We're going to have a revolution in this country if this keeps up. These people are pushing the wrong people around. Just watch Extreme Fighting and you'll see what the white male is capable of. That's all I can say to you. Just understand why Extreme Fighting is becoming popular in this country. Because the rage has reached a boil. If they keep pushing us around, and if we keep having these schmucks running for office, catering to the multicultural people who are destroying the culture of this country, there will be a revolution in this country. Guaranteed. The people, the white male in particular, let me talk specifically. The white male in particular. The one without connections, the one without money, has nothing to lose, and you haven't seen him yet. You haven't seen him explode in this country. And he's still the majority, by the way, in case you don't know it. He is still the majority. No one speaks for him. Everyone craps on him. Bush sends him to Iraq to die. People use him for cannon fodder, and he has no voice whatsoever. He has nobody speaking for him. So he goes to these extreme fighting events. Take a look at them, and you'll see what the white male is capable of. And you're going to find out that if you keep pushing this country around, you'll find out that there's an ugly side to the white male that has been suppressed for probably 30 years right now. But it really has never gone away. But that doesn't answer your question. What is the culture? It's very simple. The culture of this nation is built upon several founding documents. One, I'm sure the ACLU will find a problem with. That's called the United States Constitution. That's a founding document. The Bill of Rights, founding document. The Bible, that's correct. The Bible, the rules of the Bible, The entire nation was built about around the rules of the Bible, not the rules of the psychos, not the rules of the perverts, not the rules of the atheists, not the rules of the psychos, not the rules of the perverts, not the rules of the atheists, but the Christian rules, the Christian Bible built upon the Jewish Bible. So if you want to ask me what the founding documents are, those are the founding documents, and that's the culture of America. Now, did I say that Buddhism shouldn't be practiced? No. Did I say Hinduism shouldn't or couldn't be practiced? No. Did I say that Islam shouldn't or couldn't be practiced? No. But in the past, the other religions were practiced, but they did not try to dominate the nation, which is fundamentally a Christian nation. It is not a Buddhist nation. It is not a Hindu nation. It is not a Muslim nation. This is primarily, has always been and always will be, primarily a Christian nation. The rest of the people certainly are welcome to practice their religions, but they're not welcome to deny Christianity its place in the family of man. Now, I've given you a long, long story on this, but there are other documents that go back to the Magna Carta, but that would require an education beyond the sixth grade, so I'll stop using large words.
Savage.
I don't like cutesy. I don't like people who talk to their children cutesy. It makes me squirm. You ever hear these parents talk to their children with, like, cute talk? That's why the child winds up a psycho. You know, I got to tell you a little trick about child rearing. In my opinion, one man's opinion, and I haven't done so bad. Speak to them as you would an adult, and they will grow up more intelligent, and they will be more competent younger. You ever listen to the people with the children? I love the ones who take him to a restaurant and give him a lesson in front of you to show how smart they are, how smart the child is with the pencils and the coloring book. You're spending $29 for a plate of spaghetti that costs 4 cents, and there they are next to you. The guy with the ponytail, he's 63, with a 30-year-old girl he met somewhere at a club. And right away, a year later, they have the baby, and 4 years later, ready the coloring book and the crayons in the pasta palace. And they're all set up. They got the whole thing. They got the backpack. They got the diaper at your next table. And they got the coloring book and the crayons, which should be outlawed in restaurants. It's not ding-dong school. Not everything is a ding-dong school. There was a time, and I raised children. I wasn't allowed in certain restaurants with the children when they were young. I didn't like it. But I understood it. People didn't want to be disturbed by children. Now, if they get sued, if they say to the people, you know what, we'd rather you not change doo-doo at the table, right away they call ACLU and a lawyer like an ACLU, or like a smarter one than an ACLU lawyer, the brother who went into private practice with the same mentality. Marvin goes into the ACLU because he's stupid, and Barry goes into the private practice and sues, but they're the same mentality. Two heads of the same hydra. That's it, the coloring books in the restaurant. How do you spell Louisiana, Louise? Very good. And then the mother claps at the desk. Yeah, this is where you're sitting having a romantic meal. $29.95 for the pasta al ripoffo, antipasto consisting of a piece of old rotten cheese from Brooklyn that they couldn't sell to the Italians in New York because they know better, so they ship it to San Francisco. That's $9.95 for one little piece of mozzarella cheese and a tomato. They give it an Italian name, $9.95 with a tomato and one little piece of cheese that the Italians rejected on the wharf. Even the wharf rats rejected it, but they can sell it in San Francisco. And $29.95 for pasta al creato. I don't mind it, all right, but you're going in for the ambience. No one's there for the food. They're in for the ambience. But the coloring book is there right away. And the lessons you have to listen to. Do you ever hear these lessons at these tables? Does this go on in Louisiana or only in the major cities that you have to listen to these impossible parents? I never talk cute to the children. Okay, I'm a product of my upbringing. Harsh, Spartan-like. Don't be cute. I don't like cute. No jokes. Just get back to work. No matter what I did, I try to entertain my family. All right, get back to work. Stop the entertainment. He knew I was trying to, like, wiggle out of work by entertaining him. All right, that's very good. Now get back to it. Now radio. On the way into work, I swear to God, if I was, like, driving in his car, I don't know how old I was. He didn't want the radio on. If I tried to put the radio on because it was horrible, sitting next to your father in a car on the way to work, it was going to be a horrible day in a disgusting market all day long, which I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go to begin with, but I didn't say anything. Okay, he needed me there. That was the way it was done. I didn't have any option anyway. It was like a little prison camp. But all right, so you sit in the right seat like a dummy, your hands folded on your lap, and nothing, not a word, mum. The whole ride. BQE, the Kosciuszko Bridge, the stink of the pork dying there, the Trun's meat market, where the eye goes out. You think that you ran over a skunk, but there are no skunks in Williamsburg. That packing plant in August was enough. You talk about a weapon of mass destruction. The Trun's meat packing plant in Williamsburg, Brooklyn in the 50s was a WMD. That's why rents were low in those days. The floors were cockeyed with linoleum that when a dog would urinate in the bedroom, it would run into the living room because the floors were old. But that's the way it was. No one complained. Today you got the same losers who can't live in Manhattan. They live there now. They discovered the charm of Williamsburg. Oh, I really love it over here. It's really great. You know, it's right near the overpass, and I like the factory area. Nobody ever wanted to live there. Even when it was in its heyday, nobody wanted to live there. But the point I'm making is a little different. So if you sit in the car, you're next to your father driving to work, and you know you can't say anything. There's nothing to say. He's grim. He's white. His hands are white-knuckled on the wheel because he's gone in again another horrible day to make a living. Nothing was fun. Nobody worked in those days for fun. This was an evolution of the Dr. Spock generation. Oh, find what's fun and pursue it. Pursue what's fun. To my father, nothing was fun. It was grim. Horrible. It was like Grimm's fairy tales. Came over, work, drop dead, and move on. It's in the ground. In the ground. That's it. Next case. Next generation. There was no fun. From another world, they didn't know what the word fun was. So he's driving to work. The hands are like white knuckles. And I'm sitting here. So my hand reaches, the left hand reaches for the radio dial, like to punch a button in. No, no radio. So what do you mean no radio? I don't want music. Why? Never mind why. This is not entertainment. It's work. So, all right. So work has to be torture. I get it. All right. That's why I'm in the radio business. I was made for this. What I'm getting at is he didn't like cute. If he saw people, and I'm the same way, unfortunately, I become him in essence. This is how it is. All the years I resisted becoming him, I came, oh, a long time ago I became my father. I admit it. There must be something to it. Worked for him. It's worked for me so far. But he didn't like cute. People who talk cute to the children. You know, the guy was 100% right. Let's say I'm talking generally, 9 out of the 10 couples did not talk to their children in because it was like embarrassing. Anyone who did that, the child either wound up in San Francisco wearing a pink set of tights at 19 expressing himself, or the girl wound up married to her sorority sister. 9 out of 10, they never wound up okay. None of them became anything. That's true because of the liberal upbringing. Liberalism not only is a mental disorder, but destroys children. You need to raise children the old-fashioned way. I don't say hurt them. I never got hit. He didn't hit me. Just verbal abuse. It worked better.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I had a rough night. I had a really bad headache last night after the show. A smasher that I considered surgery. I considered having the right side of my brain excised. It was one of those massive migraines of the worst kind. I used to suffer this as a child. I have to lock myself in dark rooms. Thank God for years I cured myself of these headaches when I was 18, by the way. That's how I got into nutrition. I found that by controlling my diet, I could control the migraines, and that led me to other blah, blah, blah. So I've been lucky. I've had maybe a dozen in my whole life since I was 18. I had one yesterday from the Indian food the other night. They gave me a lamb roll. I can't go into details how I found it out because it would be too disgusting to give you the forensics on it. It was the lamb roll in that Indian restaurant that charged me $99 in Sausalito. I'd like to hang them what they gave me in that roll. Sunday night it was good. I went back, and the same manager was in there. There was another guy. Too many smiles. I knew it was coming. The lamb roll must have been made in Calcutta in 1960 and flash frozen. Well, anyway, it gave me a migraine. So I went out on my boat last night. Luckily, family drove boat. Mike just enjoyed ride. Took pain pill. I never take pain pills. It worked. Couldn't sleep as a result. How does a pain pill keep you up? I don't understand this. I felt no pain, but I was agitated. It had a weird effect. All right, I sleep, thrashing, this and that. Get up in the morning, turn on the TV, groggy, and I see that the British Navy has become impotent. The Iranian seize 15 British sailors. So I said to myself, Winston Churchill once said that the British Navy was built upon rum, sodomy, and the lash. With the news that came to mind today, it appears the British Navy has eliminated rum and the lash. Today, Iran seizes 15 British Marines in the Persian Gulf. British officials said that they were extremely disturbed. No action taken. Other British officials demanded a full explanation. No action was taken. Other British officials demanded the immediate return of their, quote, service personnel and boats. But no action was taken. Now, in the early 1800s, in the first years of the American Republic, British ships would board American vessels and kidnap American soldiers that they claimed were British, thereby violating our national sovereignty. America stood up for its rights. America placed an embargo on British goods. America fought the War of 1812 against the greatest military power in the world and won because it took aggressive action. Not because we said, please, Mr. Iranian, don't kidnap my sailors. Not because our forebears in America demanded a full explanation. Not because our forebears in this country were extremely disturbed. If the Brits lie down on this issue, if they succumb meekly to the aggression of Iran, then the last vestige of the British Empire will go gently into that good night. If they do not give Iran an ultimatum and demand the return of their sailors and their boats within 24 hours, a war will be declared on the Hitler of the Middle East, then the once great bulwark of the Western world will crumple into even greater insignificance. And if we, as the United States of America, stand by and let this crime against Western civilization stand, and let this crime stand unavenged, then we too shall go gently into that good night eventually. The Islamofascists will have won. Darkness will continue its spread across the globe like thick black ink. There's no England anymore. There's no England anymore. There's no England anymore. That was actually funny and profound, but no one got it. I mean, I opened with a good line like that and no one laughed. If I was in a live audience and I got this reaction, Buddy walks out of the theater. This was not bad. I said the British Navy, Churchill said the British Navy was built on rum, sodomy, and the lash. Then I say, with the news today, they appear that they have eliminated rum and the lash. That's a joke. You're supposed to laugh at this. Problem is, it's radio. How do I know if you're laughing? How would I know if you're laughing? What do I know what you're doing in your chair there?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
Listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
The United States respects rule of law.
The rule of law, sir.
But in the debate on migration, I remind my fellow citizens...
Are you kidding?
...that family values do not stop at the Rio Grande River.
Duh? What kind of stupidity does this man... Stop this jerk. Why doesn't he just resign and save us the embarrassment? He believes in rule of law, not the rule of law, but he believes in rule of law. If he was a seventh grade student, I'd give him a D and send him back to the sixth grade. All right, let's put that aside. We know he's dyslexic and a putz. He believes in rule of law. This is in Mexico, but he says family values don't stop at the Rio Grande. Let me see if I understand this. I believe in rule of law, but we're going to let drugs come in because family values don't stop at the border. I believe in rule of law, not the rule of law, but we're going to let 20 million more flood in because of family values. They don't stop at the Rio Grande. Whose president is this man? Is he your president? Does he speak for you? You know, I can't take this guy anymore, frankly. I think he's taking a wrecking ball to the military. And why do I say that? Because he's persecuting the U.S. Marines who do their job in Iraq the way Marines have always done their job. He is persecuting them by trying them for murder. That's number one. He is wrecking the borders of our nation in deference to the Mexican lords, who apparently have more meaning to him than the voters. And that is why the Republicans will not win another election for 20 years. I don't think you understand how desperate this country is right now. We have Hillary Clinton. We have the party of the European socialists under the Democrats, the pacifist European socialist party that will see the end of America as you know it. We'll become a new Spain, catering to the Muslim fanatics in this country and abroad, catering to the Muslim fanatics abroad and to the Muslim takeover artists domestically. That's number one. On the other hand, we have a defunct Republican Party that no longer exists, with fraudulent candidates such as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Giuliani, who stands for abortion, homosexual marriage, gun grabbing, and illegal immigration. Now, how does that make him a Republican candidate, I'd like to know? Answer, it doesn't. He's a Democrat with an R next to his name. McCain is finished because he's finished. He finished himself when he started to step aside from the legacy he inherited. The other one is an invisible candidate. Doesn't have a chance in heck. Doesn't have a chance in heck, Romney. No one knows who he is. Man, tan man. Doesn't stand for anything. So the Republican Party is over. I've had enough of this crap. Politics is the last refuge of the talk show hosts. I think I'm going to stay away from this for a while. In respect for President Bush's appeal for family values and not for the rule of law. Again, Mr. President, it's not rule of law. It's the rule of law. You left something out of that sentence. I will now share with you my secret recipe for quick Spanish rice. I was fed up with sandwiches. I was fed up with restaurants. And so I decided to, before rushing to the radio studio, to use leftovers again. My recipe for leftover spaghetti has become a big hit. I have a friend who's a billionaire. He gives away millions of dollars. And he's an arch conservative, but he hates wasting food because he grew up poor. He calls me over and over again. London. He calls me from New York. He says, your recipe for leftover spaghetti is so good with the egg on it. He said, I can't stop eating it. So now I'm going to add to my recipe book. I'm giving you Savage's recipe for quick Spanish rice. The trick here is you have to have leftover rice from the night before or even three nights before, as long as it's in a sealed container. Very simple or very complex, depending upon what level of dummy you are or, you know, what level of sophistication you have with food and what you really require. You put olive oil in the pan, again, medium. You make the pan warm, not hot. Don't burn the pan. You get a non-skid pan. You warm it. You don't burn it. Medium heat. Then you lower the heat. Then put in Spanish olive oil. I only use Spanish olive oil because it's a lower acidity. I'm starting to mangle phrases like George Bush. I shouldn't listen to him. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, so you put in some Spanish olive oil and you get it all over the pan. You know why I'm doing this? Because I'm on strike. I'm filibustering. Since the country doesn't care about Halliburton moving to Dubai, since the country doesn't care that Bush is working for the government of Mexico, since you don't care that we have more spies working in the U.S. Senate than you care to know about, and since, well, I can go on and on, but I'm not going to go on and on. So you get the oil hot, you see. Not burning, not sizzling, not popping. Now, most people would say chop up the onion and put it into the oil. I don't, because I like onion as close to fresh as possible. So I don't put the onion into the oil to cook the onion. So reserve the onion. I also love sweet bell peppers because they're full of vitamin B6. I love onion because of the sulfur compounds and for the vitamin C. So you want to have as much onion and garlic as you can possibly tolerate. If you like it, I live on it. And you chop it up and reserve it. Then chop up the red bell pepper because it's full of vitamin B6, as I say, which is very scarce in the diets of Americans, which is one of the principal reasons that we're having so many heart attacks is the deficiency of pyridoxine. But that's a long, separate story. I happen to like the taste of sweet bell pepper. Get the rice in there. Start mushing it around in the pan until you start to feel it warming up. Mush, 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 mush. Now, I'm making Savage's quick Spanish rice. Now, get the rice moving around. Now, I happen to like shrimp. You could put chicken in there. If you have a leftover piece of chicken, cut it up quickly. Or if you have a piece of leftover beef, cut it up quickly. Now, the best thing to do here is to microwave that meat for 30 or 40 seconds to warm it up, or the chicken, or the shrimp. I actually did a big thing today where I defrosted shrimp while the rice was warming. But you got it. Now, here's the trick now. Take whatever protein you're putting in the middle of the bunch of rice. Make like a hole in the pan. Make a mound in the center and put the protein right in the middle, okay? Now bury it with the rice. Now you're onto something because you're cooking in a little oven, a little rice oven, the protein down in the bottom. Now, take tomato sauce, bottled tomato sauce. I have a favorite I'm using now, which is Amy's. They should advertise, but who cares? It's better than all the others I've used at the right price, like a marinara. On to the rice. Not too much, though. The mistake most people make is they use too much tomato sauce either on leftover spaghetti or fresh spaghetti or rice. You want a sparse amount of sauce, not so that it's dry, just so it's covered, but not soaking in that tomato sauce. Now you got the sauce in there. Now put in the chopped onions. Now put in the chopped bell red pepper, whatever other vegetable. I happen to pick some Italian parsley out of my garden the other day, which I keep in a plastic bag, which I love. I'm crazy about it. You know, you could wait for the end to put it on. I throw it all in. You must have a cover for that frying pan. You're creating a little oven. Okay, now mush everything around, trying to keep the protein on the bottom so it touches the pan. And bingo, there's your quick Spanish rice. Now, isn't that, don't you feel better hearing another recipe from me with something you can control rather than your borders and your language and your culture, which are out of control because of the traitors and the bums and the thieves and the vermin who are running everything? Sure, you feel better.
Savage.
Peter on WRKO, you're on the Savage Nation.
Franklin Roosevelt saved England and basically Europe, not Churchill.
Okay. So what is it you're arguing about FDR? What part of this argument am I missing?
Well, you're missing the fact that you tout Churchill as the great leader that in certain instances was, but he could stand there and make the speech that we will fight on the beaches and so on and so forth. But if FDR did not...
All right, well, let's take one person at a time. Churchill was the spiritual or intellectual leader of the English people. He tried to warn them through the 1930s. They wouldn't listen to him. During the war, they did listen to him, and he gave them the courage to fight. Admittedly, it was the Lend-Lease deal and the American troops who saved England. But are you arguing, therefore, that because FDR was a liberal, that we need, that only a liberal can save America?
Excuse me, FDR was a progressive Democrat, and if you are...
He was a progressive Democrat. So are you arguing that the internment of the Japanese by this progressive Democrat was a liberal policy that you would support?
I'm not discussing Japan. I'm discussing the fact that...
Sir, you just said that FDR was a progressive Democrat and that he saved the West during World War II. So I'm asking you, which of the progressive Democrat's policies is it that you are offering us as an example today? Is it the internment of the Japanese?
Nope. I'm talking about the fact of the Second World War and beginning before the Second World War.
Wait a minute. You cannot separate and take away individual acts of FDR and say that those were exceptions. Didn't he pass an executive order to intern the Japanese?
Absolutely. But if you
all right, so wait, no, wait. Does that make him a progressive Democrat, or does that tell us that in times of war, the progressive politics that you seem to be a fan of may have to be put on hold?
Again, I'm not going to discuss that. If you want to end the call, fine. I want to talk about...
Why do you mean you won't discuss it? Is that because you can't or you won't?
No, I won't. How's that?
Well, why not? Tell me why you will not discuss the internment of the Japanese, since you're glorifying FDR and you're saying it's his liberalism that saved the West. But I'm asking you if his acts during World War II, of which there were many, including the internment of the Japanese, were liberal acts or were they actually conservative acts?
They were acts at the time that probably were warranted, but hindsight, Monday morning quarterback, showed that they would not have been done if people were not concerned with a so-called imminent attack by the Japanese on our West Coast. Okay?
I'm missing the point. So let's look at some of the, you don't want to talk about the internment of the Japanese by this progressive Democrat. So let's talk about some of the other acts of FDR during World War II that certainly don't exhibit any kind of progressive liberal nature. They were very clearly conservative in nature. Many of his acts were conservative in nature. So during the war, he was able to put aside his socialism and his tendencies toward liberalism and move to save America. So I don't see where you and I have to argue over this.
Yeah, we do have to argue over it because of the fact that the way you tout Churchill with regard to basically saving England is a lot of horse feathers because it took...
So you're arguing now that Churchill's work in the 1930s was to no avail? He single-handedly built up the British armaments industry. What are you talking about?
Look,
If it wasn't
you look. He was fought by men like you who were appeasers who said, Germany does not threaten us. We don't need to build up our Navy. We don't need to build up our Air Force. It was because of Churchill that they built the Spitfire plane during the 1930s. It was because of Churchill that they built up the Royal Navy, that they had a military. So how can you argue he had no effect upon the war?
And in our country, we had so-called conservative Republicans that said, this fight is not ours. Europe's war is not ours. You don't remember that, but if you read history, you would have seen that.
Well, don't lecture me about history because you read one book. Your points do not make sense. What you're trying to argue is that we need a progressive leader to save us in this battle against Islamofascism. But I'm willing to bet that you won't even identify Islamofascism as the threat, will you? But what happened to you? You went deaf, dumb, and blind all of a sudden? Where do you stand on the threat from Osama bin Laden and the Islamofascists? Do you say it doesn't exist, it does exist, or what?
No, I don't want to even get into that.
What do you want to get into? Why are you wasting my time? Go back to one of your communist halls down there in Boston and give yourself the malarkey and then have a scotch on me. You're living in the past, my friend. You're an old trade unionist who doesn't even know what the hell you're talking about anymore.
Conflict of interest in discussing all of this, too.
You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. If you're unwilling or unable to understand the threat we're facing from the Muslim invasion and the Muslim crusade that is going on around the world, how can we even have a discussion?
No, I understand what the threat is.
So what are we arguing? Then why are you and I, two good Americans, fighting? Why are we fighting with each other?
The threat is, okay, I understand what the threat is, but I'm
So then why are you and I, where are we disagreeing? I don't even understand what the disagreement is.
My disagreement is with you're touting Churchill at every time I listen to you, and I do listen to you because it's entertainment, not fact, but entertainment.
That's right. In other words, you liberals are the only ones who have brains. We have no brains, the conservatives. We entertain you. The reason you're listening to me is there inside you, there's a man who can still live and stand up and understand reality. The man who wants to overcome and break free of the shackles of liberalism. That's why you're listening to me. I'm not entertaining you. I'm educating you, Peter.
No, not me. If you look at the people that have taken us through wars from the First World War through the Second World War, through Korea, through Vietnam, were all Democrat presidents.
So what are you saying, that the Democrats are the party of war?
Fanatical, radical.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that the Democrats are the party of militancy and war?
No, I'm saying that the Democrats...
Oh, wait, you just said that. I agree with you. It has been Democrats who've taken us to war. Absolutely, I agree with you. So what's your point? That they're a militant party of war? Well, then I would gladly become a Democrat if they were still a party willing to stand up for America, but they're not. They become a sort of European socialist party of appeasers. They're not that party that you're talking about. I would gladly join a party that was still a JFK, FDR type party. They disappeared a long time ago, Peter. I think you're living in another world.
No, they didn't disappear. They're there. They are there.
What about my statement that in 1933, did you hear that piece or you missed that?
Which one?
The year that the Nazis came to power. The Oxford Union, which is a debating society where all of the future British political elite would debate, they passed a resolution that said this house would under no circumstances fight for its king and country. That you and I would agree, I think, that that's appeasement, wouldn't you?
You got to remember the Germans. You got to remember your history. The Germans.
Don't speak down to me. Don't talk down to me because I'll throw you off my show. This is my bar, not yours. You got to remember your history. And you got to remember that I'm far more educated than you are.
Well, yeah, that's why they didn't accept you into Berkeley. You remember how much you were.
Excuse me, sir. Hello. I earned my PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. What are you talking about? Just what are you talking about?
I never applied
for anything but admission to the PhD program, and I got my PhD in 3 years, sir, with a 3.94 a GPA, whatever they call it. Out of a 4.0. Can you match those credentials, sir?
What about the time you applied for...
Well, no. You see, again, you're a classic weasel. Every time you lose a point, you change the argument. You can't win one point with me, so you keep going to the next point. But I got news for you. You're fighting a futile battle.
You're absolutely
1933,
right.
The Nazis come to power. The Oxford Union, a liberal debating society, says we, this House, would under no circumstances fight for its king and country. That is appeasement. You know that, and I know that. How did Hitler take it? He said, well, the British would never fight another war with Germany. He became emboldened. It's identical to what your leader, Nancy Pelosi, is doing with the Islamo-fascists. Every time your party of appeasers, called the Democrats, pass another resolution against the war, pass another resolution appeasing the Muslims, pass another resolution saying women in burqas can work at security counters in America because we'd be racist otherwise, every time your party of appeasers does that, they dig the grave of America another foot deeper. And I'm ashamed at you, sir, because you probably were one day, at one time in your life, an educated, intelligent man. So I'm going to send you how to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's because I'm afraid that you're in the early stages of that dread disease. That's the only explanation of what happened to you.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Boise, Idaho. DJ, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'm only 26 years old, and I can't relax in a restaurant. But what about a movie theater? Those are the worst for me. I just cringe because right when I sit down, I see a family with five or six kids that just want to talk throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, they think it's their personal video experience in their living room. Well, in my day, we had ushers that went around with a flashlight, and they put it in your eye if you talk. It didn't always work, but, you know, we mocked the ushers, or we threw candy at them, you know. I mean, we weren't all dolls, believe me. But we knew not to talk because the other kids would have gotten into a fight with us if we talked. There was self-control because the audience would have controlled you otherwise.
Well, now I look around, and it's like I'm the only one that cares. The audience doesn't seem to care. It's like I'm weird because I'm upset that these parents want to
talk. Yeah, I can't even go to – I go to a movie very seldom. I try to go very late at night or off. You know, I went to two movies in the whole year. That's what I watch at home, you know. What do you expect in a movie theater? The lowest common denominator is in a movie theater. They're not the highest. They're not generally not working people. They're either senior citizens or looking for the senior, you know, the $5 ticket. You ever see them line up at 12:30, the Social Security crowd? You don't want to be in there after a Medicare a meal, I tell you that. You don't want to be in that because they cut back on the air conditioning. You could die in these theaters. They don't care. What do they care if the next guy's going to come in and gag? They actually do it on purpose.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.